Actually, I do know why they don't do that. But thank you. Great song. Take your Bibles this morning. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 12 in God's Word this morning. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. Isn't it great to be in church? Man, alive. Woo! Get happy. It sure beats being in jail. That's for sure. Amen. Not that I plan to go there anytime soon. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at two very popular verses, well-known verses in the Bible, but I want to speak to you on the subject, victory in the race. Victory in the race. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read the first two verses of this passage, so follow along this morning if you would as I read Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible here says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible and preach it this morning. And God, I just pray that you would meet with us in a wonderful, powerful way this morning with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, a work that I as a human cannot do, but Lord, is a work that God, you, your Holy Spirit, can do as we open up our hearts to you this morning. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to each one of us, God, and meet each one of us, Lord, personally, right where we are at. And God, you know right where each one of us are in our life. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you'd meet us right where we are, Lord. And God, may we be thankful and grateful for what you do in our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage of Scripture this morning takes the life of a Christian and it compares it to a race. I don't know if you realize this, but you and I each are running a race. We have a race. Now, I'm sadly out of shape for my race. Amen. All God's Baptists said, amen. Too much potluck, not enough exercise, amen. That happens. But the Christian life in this passage is compared to a race. We're running a race. Now, this race is not the same type of race as you would think a race, because it's an individual race. It's kind of like a time trial, like you're running your own race. And the victory of this race is not just the finish line, but the victory of this race is the victory that actually is in the race, not just at the end of the race. I like to see races. I enjoy people in races. I heard about a NASCAR race not too long ago where on the last three laps, 9 cars ran out of gas because they were all trying to suck every last drop out to get to that finish line, to be the first to cross. I actually heard about a guy who was running a NASCAR race. He was leading the race way ahead of everybody. And he came to the place where he got to the last mile and he ran out of gas. And he was coasting slowly around the field and everybody had gas in their car. And they were catching up to this guy. And right when he got almost to the finish line, Boom! Somebody passed him up. And he didn't win the race. But you know what's funny about that race is that the guy who passed him up at the next race, I think it was the Daytona 500, I may be wrong about that, but I think at the Daytona 500, the guy who beat him did the same thing on the next race. He ran out of gas, and the guy who got second place in the previous race beat him. He learned his lesson, I guess. Amen? I don't know. But can I tell you this? Scripture teaches us that we are like a race. But here's the difference, and this is what I want to press upon your mind this morning, is that there is victory in the race, not just at the end of the race. Can I tell you, victory is a wonderful thing, because if you're in Christ, from the day you got saved and trusted Christ, can I tell you, you became victorious. I'm glad for that day when, as a 13-year-old boy, a preacher preached the word of God, and something just, boy, just began to work inside of me. And I began to think about my need to be saved. And I didn't want to end up in eternal hell forever. You say, are you one of them preachers that believes in hell? Yeah, I believe in the Bible. Because the Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven. We don't have a problem with heaven. Amen? Amen. But the hell is a real place. And I remember as a 13-year-old boy thinking, I don't want to spend eternity in hell. And it wasn't an emotional feeling. It was true. It was real in my heart, my life. And I'm glad that day I got saved. Trusted Christ. I knelt at an altar. I came forward and I knew I needed to be saved. They prayed with me. I opened my heart to Christ, and I've been saved. That day, God gave me victory. I don't have to wait till the finish line to get victory. That's another victory. But I've got victory today. And if you're here today and you're saved, can I tell you what? There can be victory during the race, not just at the end of the race. There's victory for every Christian. I like to hear stories about people who are victorious. Have you ever heard, you ever read that radio program? I'm going to encourage each one of you to get on that radio program called Unshackled. It's a wonderful radio program of people whose lives have been messed up in all kinds of things. I mean, and it teaches them how God, through the story of their life, gave them deliverance. And God gave them victory in their life. It's a great radio program. I encourage you to go on Unshackled. And there's a few of the preachers on there that I know personally who have given their life to God and been victorious in their life. But I want to speak to you on how to have that victory, because, you know, I see a lot of Christians who don't have that victory. And there's two people in the Bible that remind me of this victory. And the first one is a woman in the Bible named Rahab. You know, Rahab, the Bible tells us she was a prostitute. That's what she was. That was her life. But somehow God gave her victory in her life. And you can go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and see in Hebrews chapter 11 how this woman, Rahab, God puts her in his hall of faith, because God changed her life and gave her victory. I love to see lives that should go in a bad direction because of all the circumstances in their life, but somehow God delivers them out and changes them, and they end up on a good road. Man, that's a joy. By the way, that's why Jesus died on the cross, to take our lives that should have gone in a bad direction and to transform them to a good direction. God does that, by the way. The working of God in our heart and our mind. I even think of a boy. We've got a boy in our church. He's still in our church, but he's in Bible college, named Sam. I thank God for Sam. Sam started riding our bus as a, a little kid, just a little numbskull, crumb cruncher, started riding our bus, little boy. And you know what? Sam doesn't have a dad. And Sam's mom is a struggler. She's struggling in life. And Sam ended up living with his sister and all kinds of circumstances in life. And he didn't have anybody, really didn't have anybody in his life. And I remember even having the privilege of taking him down and giving him his driver's test. Amen? And letting Sam do his driver's test. And you all know Sam, and he's a, you all had a part in his life. That's a blessing. But Sam's one of those kids that his life, with all the circumstances in it, if you knew half of them, should not have gone in a good direction. His life really was sort of destined to go in a bad direction. But can I tell you what? There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who took a young kid, and he's in Bible college right now. And if he ever gets messed up, I'm going to come find him. Amen. But doing good. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to see victory in people's lives. But you know what? I see a man in the Bible also named Samson. Samson was a guy that had everything going for him. He was to be the next great judge of Israel. He was strong. God gave him an unusual strength. And somehow he took that for granted, and somehow he just did not live that life that God wanted him to. And his story is a life that went, that should have gone in a good direction, but ended up going in a bad direction. How does that happen? How does it happen when one who should have gone in a bad direction goes good, and the one who goes in the good direction ends up going in the wrong direction? How does that happen? I think it's all having to do with this race that we're running. The individual race that God has given to us. And there are some things about this race here that I want you to notice, that I want you to see from God's own word and what he said about his race. And I want you to notice, first of all, what gives victory? Notice, first of all, there is a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us. There is a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you. Somewhere up in heaven, according to verse number 1, there is a group. The Bible calls them a great cloud because it resembles a great group of people, and they're up there somewhere. This great cloud of witnesses. And this great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, they're watching us and they are cheering you on. There is somebody in heaven that is cheering you on. Isn't that good to know? You say, but I have a lot of failures and faults. That doesn't keep them from cheering you on. You say, well, preacher, I don't have it all together in life. That's why they're cheering you on. Because they want to take you. They want to take that road that should have gone bad, and they want to see that road turn out good in our life. Thank God for them. I have a father and a mother, grandparents who've gone on before. People that I've known in life who've passed on before me, they're this great cloud of witnesses, and they're saying, keep on going. Don't quit. Don't stop. Amen. You know, I've noticed this. I've noticed that I didn't always have everything put perfect in my life right when I got saved. You know that? I didn't put all the pieces together. You know what God had to do? God had to take me one step at a time and one bite at a time. And I got news for you. God still got some things for me to learn. Amen? As he does with all of us. And so God is trying to say here, there's somebody cheering you on. There's somebody who's saying, you can make it. Amen. You can make it. Your trials do not have to sink you. Your things that are going on in your life that are negative do not have to control the direction you go. Because if they did, we would never have known Rahab's name in God's hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. So I say to you today, we can run our race victorious because there's a crowd cheering us on. It's like we're running down that road, and there's the grandstands of people. And they are looking at us. They see you run, and as you run by, they're cheering you on. Go, go. You can make it. You can make it. That's what running that race is. This is what Scripture is teaching us. Because we have this cloud of witnesses, because we have so many people, we can be victorious. Amen? There's a second thing he says here about this. Notice he says there is a weight that can hold us down. Notice he says, let us lay aside every weight. It's not this weight. Amen? There's a weight that holds us down. And you know what I think? This has lots of different things to it, connotations to it. First of all, I think it has the connotation of our burdens. We all have burdens, don't we? We all have things that rend our heart. Things we'd love to see go better, but we live with those burdens. And God's saying, some of those things we have to take and lay aside. You say, how do I lay aside my burdens? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. When you take your burden and give it to the Lord, it has a way of lightening you for your race. Give your burden to the Lord. I think also sometimes we put the wrong priorities in our life. We leave God kind of in sixth place. And all the other things we put ahead of God, and when we put everything ahead of God, you know what? We get our priorities out of line and get our priorities out of whack. Hey, there's a God that made us. There's a God who saved us. There's a God who we're going to see one day in heaven, and all about life is about running this race to please him. That should be our priority. I don't want anything else in this world to take priority in my heart. I want the Lord Jesus Christ priority in my heart. And you should too. We all should prioritize living for Christ. Wait. There's a third thing. The weight of God, the weight of this troubles is discouraging us. But number three, there's an enemy of sin that's defeating us. There's an enemy of sin. Notice what he says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, preaching on sin is never comfortable. We don't like it. But you know what? God's told us we can do something about it. The weight of sin. Sin will defeat you in your race. It will defeat you as you're running your race. Someone once said there's six G's. Six G's about sin. Number one, sin has a gift. Sin has a gift. Sin says, let me give you something you'll really love. Secondly, sin has a gravity. That means when Satan gives it to us, we take it, it begins to weigh us down. Sin has a gift. Sin has a gravity. Number three, sin has a grip. It has a grip. It has a way of holding on to us. And, you know, for a while, we think it's okay and we deal with it, but after a while, it gets a hold of us. Sin has a gift. Sin has a gravity. Sin has a grip. Fourthly, sin has a goal. Sin has a goal. Its goal is to take all glory and honor away from God and turn it to giving Satan glory and honor. It has a goal. The goal is to take that life. You know, I think of Sam Munoz's life. What a glory to God. What a tribute to what God can do in life. What a joy. Amen? What a joy. But sin has a goal. Number five, sin has a glaze. Sin has a glaze. You say, what do you mean? Sin just kind of coats the eye to where after a while you don't feel anymore. When something wrong hit your life and when you first started doing that sin, it wasn't a big deal, but after all, it bothered you, but after a while it doesn't bother you anymore. It just kind of glazes over. You know, teenagers can get this way, and sometimes I'm preaching on things that teenagers need in their life, and they just glaze over, right? It doesn't touch the heart like it should. It doesn't affect. That's an effect of sin. It puts a glaze over our eyes. We don't feel good. We don't feel bad. We don't feel nothing. We're glazed by sin. Sometimes the preacher preaches against sin, or God tells us, don't follow sin. It's going to lead you in the wrong way. And that glaze says, oh, yeah, whatever. Whatever. But lastly, according to James chapter 1, verse 15, sin has a grave. Sin has a grave. Sin has a grave. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. It doesn't bring forth good things. It brings forth evil things. It brings great trouble in our lives. The enemy of sin is defeating us. That is what's keeping us from running our race. Oh, hear me this morning. Don't allow anything to creep into your heart. If God forbids it, then would to God we in our hearts say, nope, oh no, I'm not going there. I'm not touching that. No, sir, not me. I'm going to stay away from it. Can I tell you what you're doing? You're running your race well. Amen. You say, well, the devil's not going to affect me. He's hoping you'll say that. He's hoping you'll say that. Any of us who are wrapped in flesh have to daily understand there's an enemy of sin defeating us. You know why? I want to run my race. I want to run my race. Number four, the example of Christ is strengthening us. Notice verse number two. The Bible says you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Hey, if Jesus can endure what he endured, you and I can endure what we have to endure. He is our strength in enduring what God has put in your life. You see, it's true. God will never give you more than you can handle. You may think you can't handle it, but if he's strengthening you, you can handle anything. Jesus endured that cross, didn't he? You know, there's a lot of things in life you have to endure. Amen? You know, it's not reality to say everything in life just goes peachy keen. You know, life's a bowl of cherries. There's a few pits too, right? There's some pits in them. And you know, if a Christian is blind to these things, they won't endure those pits in life. Listen, I wish I could tell everybody everything's going to be wonderful. And you know, you hear some of these guys sometimes say, oh, everything's just going to be wonderful. Well, that's not always reality in our life, is it? But we can't forget this. We're running a race. We're running a race, and we want to finish that race well. I want to get to that finish line of my life. But let me tell you something. Victory is not just when I go into heaven. I want to have victory now. I don't want my tank to run out of gas now. I want to keep doing it. And sometimes a stone wall will hit a Christian, and he just has a hard time enduring it. Can I tell you something? With the grace of God, you and I can endure anything. And if Jesus endured it, he can strengthen you and I to endure it too. Amen. Thank God he does. I wish there were no such thing as troubles and trials. Amen. But one day when we get to heaven, there won't be such thing as troubles and trials. Amen. Someday everything's going to be perfect. And when I get to heaven, they're going to let me sing with their trio. Amen. I'll have a perfect voice. But let me tell you something. Most Christians, when they have hardship or difficulties, they quit. They quit going to church. They don't endure. Let me tell you something. Don't quit in your race. Keep on serving the Lord. If the devil can use discouragement to keep you from enduring, he'll throw it at you. But I want to keep in mind, I got a race to run. I got a race to run. We have a race to run. Thank God for that. I want to keep on running that race. I want to keep on going through life, running my race. Let me say lastly this morning, a surrendered life brings victory to us in the race. A surrendered life. You know, we have a lot of misnomers about being surrendered to God. And being surrendered to God simply just means, Lord, whatever happens to me in life, I'm going to put my life in your path. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to do my best to serve you. And if I trip and fall, I'm going to get back up. Amen. I'm not going to stay down. You know, the Bible says that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know what a failure is? A failure is somebody who stays down more than he falls. A success is the person who gets up one more time than what he fails. That's what a success is. The just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You say, preacher, I just seem to stumble so easily. Hear me, grab a hold of God and surrender your life to God. Don't quit. And let God have his way in your life. You know, sometimes trials and troubles come, but they pass. And we have to just say, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. Whatever happens, whatever happens, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the victory that overcomes the world. Oh, I want to tell you something. As you're running a race, there is a victory that overcomes the world, and that's being born of God. You know, I think that means, first of all, you got to be born again. Amen. You got to know Christ as your Savior. I'll preach this till the day I die, that you must be born again. You say, why, preacher, are you going to preach? You must be born again. Because you must be born again. There's no two ways about it. God said what he meant and meant what he said. And he said you must be born again. If you want to have victory in your Christian life, you've got to be born not just of the flesh, but born of the Spirit of God. There has to be a day when you come to this acknowledgement that you are a sinner and that you need God to come in and save you. And may I tell you, he's perfect. He is willing and ready to save anyone who calls upon him. Amen. Amen. That old devil will say, well, you're not so bad of a sinner that you don't need to call on God. Hey, we all are. We're all sinners. Amen? Me too. We're all sinners. That's why we need to be born again. God and salvation, when we come to Him and acknowledge that we're sinners and ask Him to come in and save us, you know what He does? He washes every sin away in our blood, in His blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ which cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ washes all our sins away, past, present, and future sins, and gives us a standing in Christ called salvation. We're saved, not by our own righteousness, but by His righteousness. I can't get to heaven by being good. I can't get to heaven by joining a church. I can't get to heaven by putting money in an offering plate. Only one thing can get you to heaven is that you're born again, that you put your faith in Christ, and that you're saved. And you know what He said that does? That gives you the victory. That gives you the victory that overcomes the world. And it allows you to live a life of victory in your life. Oh, we need a life of victory. Can I say this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, do like I did when I was 13. And I felt the Holy Spirit working in my heart, and I knew I needed to be saved. And of course, that old devil was holding on to me. He didn't want to let me go. But I came forward that day, and I took the pastor's hand, and I said, I need to be saved. And you know what? The pastor's wife prayed with me, and I invited Christ into my heart. That day, I got victory in the Lord. You know, God wants that victory for you. If you have never been saved or trusted Christ this morning, in this invitation time, I want you to consider. I want you to consider your need to come and be saved, to open your heart to God and let Him do what He would like to do, because His desire is to give you victory in your life. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. And I wonder, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ? If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I know there's a time when I trusted the Lord. You may not know all the details about it, but you know there was a time, a day, a certain point in time when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And if you died right now, you know in your heart,